cliffcentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threat of Exchange with CRB.
Live on Cliff Central.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Threaded Exchange. It is the... No, I will not tell you the date. This is new. My name is Simbongile Ndangisa, and I am taking over for Sia today. He's in Cape Town just wrapping up some business. We're joined in studio by Tsepang Twiggy Modisane.
Why would you call me by my full name?
Because I love it. It's like a thing that I do. You know, like, that's my vibe.
But like, the people don't know. Well, the real me.
It's fine. So exposure. And today we're doing a takeover, and we are joined by Uama Lechakla, who is a director at 10 Media Group, also more affectionately known as Until. And we're going to be chatting to her today about, you know, what it's like being a woman, the only woman. And yep. Like, you work with 9 other guys.
11.
Wow.
So there's 10 guys and 1 girl.
I would die. Jeez, I didn't realize, Louise, how many of you guys there were, actually.
No, there's a lot of us. But yeah, it's difficult because there's 10 gents who all believe in the male psyche. They don't really take emotions into account.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've learned how to do it. Like, I know how to handle it. They were my friends before as well. So
yeah,
it's become so much easier. It's not like I walked into a company and there was just 10 gents.
Yeah.
10 gents were my friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes it a bit easier.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Just before we start the show, though, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody who joined us at the Threaded Year dinners in Cape Town and Johannesburg this past weekend. We had a great time. And a special thank you to Biski Cognac, who came on as our collaborators for the entire celebration. So just a shout out to our weekend. It was pretty lit.
I heard it was lit.
It was a lot.
Especially in Cape Town.
Yeah, no, we heard Coco was falling.
It was too much sauce. But anyway, back to what we're here to do. So I'm actually, you're 23 years old.
I didn't realize how young you are. You're younger than me.
Oh my God, yes.
I had no idea.
You're like the oldest person here.
I'm a graduate.
So you're 23 years old, and you're studying through UNISA at the moment, doing a PPE, which is actually really difficult. It's one of the hardest BA courses to do.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, like, how do you juggle the studying, as well as, you know, being a part of such a very big youth culture eventing group?
I don't. I don't know how I juggle it, but it works because there are 11 of us. So for instance, I have an economics assignment due tomorrow. So after this, after this interview, I'm going to go home and I'm going to delegate all my stuff to Tulani or Tandile or one of them and just say, Oaks, because I'm project managing Genesis this year, just to say, Oaks, please make sure that we drop on time or please. So it's almost like they like to joke and say, like, when I get my degree, they're all coming on stage with me. Because there's days I'll be at the office and I'm like, okay, guys, this equation. You guys all remember your grade 10, right? Okay, guys, this equation. Then I'm like sitting there and saying, so do we take X to the left? Or especially when I'm doing philosophy as well.
Yeah.
It's very good to get their perceptions on things or whatever. So the only way it works is because my friends are literally there to help me every step of the way.
Yeah.
Vuma was offered to tutor me for economics.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that's,
you know,
very nice.
He has an economics degree.
So
I try and plan, but the planning never really works. So I'm kind of just doing it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize that you guys are actually mates. And I think that makes everything, like, that's why you guys are such a success.
Yeah.
Because you know each other, you've grew up together, and like, you're there to help each other and support each other all the time.
Yeah, look, the whole thing of us being friends really works in the sense that I can shout at Shaz and scream at him, and then 5 minutes later,
you're good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because there is that friendship level.
Yeah.
We sometimes disrespect each other, but then because we are friends, we realize
that was wrong.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it, basically.
That's awesome. So just to backtrack a bit, I want to know how Until was founded. Like, what made you guys say, you're like probably chilling at like Vits, like at the Matrix, and you're like, just throw a party. Like, what was that like? And also, you I know you came from the Eastern Cape, so you were like fresh in Joburg.
So So I've always thrown parties at mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
So I was destined to do this.
It?
I threw my matric.
So in East London, they know you.
Yeah, I threw my after party at my house. Like I've had a lot of parties at my house.
Yeah.
So it's something that I've always been doing. And then I came in Joburg and I found friends that loved doing that exactly. So yeah. We used to always host briars. One of our more famous bright places was Honks's old house in Bryanston, 62 Walton, and that's literally what it was called. And we'd have brides there any holiday, any public holiday. We're just trying to figure out how we can throw a party.
Yeah,
Honks's mom was very chill, so she'd allow us to throw. But how Until actually came about, I was in Pretoria at the time mm-hmm. that year. The guys were sitting. I was sitting at Tools' apartment. That was our first headquarters.
Yeah.
Unit 11 in Greenside. Sitting at Tools' apartment, and it was the long weekend because of June 16th. And they were like, guys, let's throw something. And it was just kind of being thrown back and forth, And then the next day, Mfumo says, I've asked my parents. They said yes. So now we have a venue. So now it's like, oh, okay, shit. Then Charles makes up like a crazy childish ass flyer. If you saw our first flyer, it was absolutely.
I think you guys need to drop that flyer. Like, we need to see that flyer.
Actually, a young throwback.
Yeah, we drop it. I think we drop it every year on our birthday just to kind of show you guys. And then slowly but surely, all these things. So it was in a week. So this started like on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, everything came together by Friday. We had a lineup.
Oh,
we had a flyer.
Gosh.
We actually got the toilet the day of event because we were like, oh shit, toilet.
Yeah. Because obviously you can't have people going into the house.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Miso got his cousin to get us some shit sound. Absolute trash. he was also working at Red Bull at the time.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of Red Bulls. Tools was working at Castle Lights at the time. We went to the depot. We fetched some Castle Lights.
Oh my goodness.
And that first party was high school cool, where you came in your school uniform. We didn't even have tags. We used cables.
Cables like the ones you tie.
Yeah, like cable ties. Yeah,
oh
cable ties as like wristbands.
People not drag you guys the next day?
Like, what kind of party is this one now?
No, but it was that real and it was that organic. So the whole theme was, it was June 16th, you come in your school uniform.
Yeah.
And we threw a party at some point, and I think about 11, we had to close Mfumo's gate because there was like a line outside.
Oh, no.
I remember there was these three girls who were begging us to let them in, saying, we came from Bloemfontein. Oh my goodness, we came. And we were like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
What do you mean you came from Bloemfontein?
That's so hectic.
So that's literally, and just, sorry guys, I'm going to let them know. That day, everyone paid 700 rand.
What do you mean?
Towards the party. So
so 11 of you guys. Yeah, okay.
I wasn't involved at the time.
Okay.
I was still just a friend. So
yeah.
10 at the time. 700 rand. That was 7,000 rand. They made all the money back.
Jeez.
And we went to Sway the next day.
And you just blew it up.
You balled out.
Bottles.
But now, I don't know. Were you guys popular, like, in varsity?
Let me tell you, they
Because
were.
I'm trying to, like, fathom, like,
no,
how you managed to get that many people there.
So I can't remember if I was probably still in Cape Town or what, but I was home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unsure. I was like, but I'm not cool with them like that to go to this party. Like, I didn't even realize, like, it was open to the public. That
yeah.
I could just pitch and pay, like, entrance. And like groove with these people. They are fucking popular and they always have been.
That is the strength of Until is that there's 11 of us and not all 11 of us are popular. Like, I'd say maybe Mfumo's popular because he's a daredevil. He can say and do whatever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind walking up to famous people and being like, yo, take a photo with me.
Yeah.
But the rest of us are, I'd say, pretty average people. But the fact that you have 11 people
mm-hmm.
all pushing this thing on the timeline at the same time, it literally spreads like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. That's the first time we ever trended and we weren't even...
You weren't even trying to.
We weren't trying to. We were just trying to hype this party up on Twitter. And yeah, so I guess 11 people with, let's say, some 1,000 followers, some 4,000, it's not a big base, but it is.
Yeah.
It somehow works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my first Until party. It was high school cool. I was like second year at Wits, and I was like,
this first high school.
No. It was in Newtown.
Yeah, that one.
It was in Newtown, and I'm like, I'm in second year. I'm like, oh, I don't go out much, but my friends are like, no, let's make the things. And we had one tickets, I think. So like, I had no clue, guys. So I'm like, okay, let's dress up school uniform. Okay, cool. And I remember, I first saw you. You were working the door.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this is a lot. You walk inside, and I'm just, Guys, it was crazy if I tell you that the first 30 minutes of that party is the only time I was present. That's all I'm going to say.
I feel like that's every until party.
That's the whole point.
It's too much.
And the thing is, you keep going back because you're just like, okay, this time I'm going to like try, you know, remember the whole
right.
Night.
No, and you're going to like, I want to experience the lineup and I want to do the most. It's just like, nah. And so I must say, you tell me that you managed, you know, the logistics for most of the until parties.
Myself and Tandile.
So how does that work? It's like, it's a tall order. And you were telling me about it earlier. And it's just like, there's a lot that people don't know that goes into it.
Okay, so for those of you who look at an event and think all they did was put up a stage, order some toilets, and get a lineup, it does not work like that. Yeah. So before an event, so we start planning Genesis, let's say we started planning in Jan. So we came back from Cape Town and we were inside it immediately. Your first preparation starts with a committee we like to call JOC, Joint Organizational Committee. And those are from SAPS to JMPD to EMS, Fire, all of those guys.
Yeah.
And basically you compile, I think, a book the size of a dictionary, like, of just stuff. So there's risk categorization that shows how risky your party is. There's do you have enough parking, a letter from the neighbors, a letter from the chief commander of the cops, etc. And you compile all this information, floor plans, what our tags are going to look like, everything. Guest list, yes. All of you who asked us for guest list on Friday, you're doing illegal things. So yeah, we compile this thing and we go to this committee. It's like in a dark dungeon in one of the city buildings. And you go there and you present. And you can walk in there in your first line and they can just say no.
Oh my goodness.
I remember there was a time Honks got shouted at because he didn't have a table of contents in that.
Shoo.
Portfolio or whatever, that booklet.
That's intense.
So it starts there. And so you see 3,000 people at 150 Rand a ticket, let's say.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, they've made R500,000. They must be so rich. Mm. We're broke. We're broke. Like, because it's 3,000 people, your stage costs 100,000 Rand, for instance.
Yeah.
You spend 50,000 Rand on toilets. Yes, guys, toilets are expensive, really expensive. So it's really draining. I've never really enjoyed an until party ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly working, constantly sore. You have to deal with JMPD. Sometimes you have to give a damn. something under the table, who knows?
A South African proverb.
Yeah. Do you have something for me? For instance, we set up a day, 2 days before, and especially with Genesis, which is always Easter weekend, that Friday is a public holiday.
Mm.
Always. It's Good Friday. So that we lose a day from
so Luna Hali Kereke. You guys are setting up.
Yeah. No. There's nothing. Oh, Shaz. Shaz's mom is really upset with him because he's never made, in the past 3 years, he hasn't made it to, what's on Sunday?
Easter Sunday.
Yeah, because Genesis.
My mom would be bleak as well.
Because Genesis is on the Saturday of Easter weekend. So I think in the past 3 years, Shaz has barely made it to Easter Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
And he never will because this is
not a real thing.
This is it.
Why did you guys choose to have it on on the Easter weekend? Is it because you needed that Friday?
Because remember when we started, we were all still in varsity. Half of, like, Mvumo was still in Cape Town.
Yeah.
It was the only time we could get people
where everyone
back.
Is around.
And
we also
have people that we enjoy in Cape Town that, like to attend our parties.
So yeah.
We try and give them an opportunity
to be around.
For everyone to come through. Yeah.
I won't lie. Like, you guys pull it off so seamlessly that we don't realize.
We just enjoy.
Yeah, we just get there. And the thing is, it makes me realize with a lot of other events, like besides like until events, we're so quick to be like, oh my God, this is shit. Oh my God, this is terrible. Yeah. Not realizing how much work people actually put in to putting everything together.
I mean, last year for Pyjama, we had to change venue on the day. So that's
we make
the decision at 12 p.m. day of Pyjama that we have to move venues. The venue owner hasn't opened. That's that.
Oh my God.
So, like, there's such tough decisions of, do you now cancel the party, which we hate. We don't believe in canceling a party.
Yeah.
Or do you put in work and try and move it to somewhere else? And that's what we do. Like, we're calling our friends to try and get trucks so we can move things.
At some point,
we were waiting for a truck from Polokwane. And, like, it's so crazy. And that's why, like, for me especially, people come up to me, how are you doing? What do you think I'm doing?
I am not okay.
Most of my friends now know, like, don't go near Jax. Yeah. Just say, hey, what up? And then keep it moving.
Oh, and I've seen Auntie Jax at parties and I'm just like,
from a distance.
Until she comes, like, twigs are you grand? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Safe now.
So that must go down as one of the most stressful situations. Literally. Like, having to move a venue the day of. So what would you say, like, top three in the history of, like, Until parties moments where you've been, like...
Stressed.
This is not the one.
So I think number one will go to that pajama.
Yeah.
Genesis at the train station.
When it was raining.
Rain will always be a factor for us. Not when it was raining. We had a situation where we had to find scaffolding stairs. Otherwise, Jock wasn't going to approve our event.
Gosh. Yeah.
So it's a situation of it's like I said, that Friday is now a public holiday. It's Thursday. We realize now that we have to find scaffolding stairs. There's nowhere to find scaffolding stairs. What are scaffolding stairs?
I don't even know what they are.
They basically, you see the ones they use at construction sites?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fake stairs, basically.
Yeah.
Because the...
Are those the stairs that you guys put by the stage?
No. Let me finish.
I'm trying to remember.
So for the next 2 days, like, I'm calling my mom, like, do you have any engineering friends? Everyone's calling parents because we're trying to find these scaffolding stairs.
Yeah.
And the event wasn't happening until that day. I don't know. Let's call it God. Someone. We got approved without those stairs.
Oh, wow.
But we have insurance for things like that. So another thing that you guys don't know that where we throw events is that every time we throw events, we spend about 10,000 rand on public liability.
Damn.
That is now, if Twiggy is walking down the stairs and she trips and she falls, we have money to pay her out if she sues us.
Oh, okay.
Nothing's ever happened, but every single event, you don't get that money back.
Yeah.
So every single event,
maybe Twiggy needs to trip and fall.
Get her young until I'm still payout.
So you see trip and fall and stuff like that. So like, that's the most stressful. The day we had to move venues, and there's the one pajama where we were having it in a building. I think it's a battalion, that building up in Brum. It's at the top of a rooftop.
Oh, yes.
Crap, Bullion.
Bullion. There it is. Bullion.
That was a nice pajama.
Yeah, but you guys don't know that 3 hours before that pajama, we had no electricity.
Don't joke.
The load shedding days.
It was load shedding time, and we didn't think we'd need a generator because it's inside a building.
Yeah.
So we're like, gone. Stressful. We were literally bringing up alcohol cases stairs.
And it's walking top floor.
Top floor. Walking upstairs, bringing
up alcohol. Right, because the elevators are not working.
We had people that were stuck in elevators at some point.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Because it kept going and coming back. So I think those three are the most stressful. Not having the stairs, moving venue. And not having electricity.
Hey, you guys handled it well, though.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we are on cliffcentral.com. Interact with us at the threaded exchange on Twitter. Tweet us your questions if you have a question for Amahle here. Some of your Until experiences that you can share with us. And yeah, you're on the threaded exchange.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Threaded Exchange with CRB. Live on Cliff Central.
Right. So Twiggy and I are hosting a show for the first time ever.
Guys, the stress.
It is stressful. Like, these buttons are
a lot.
But I think we're doing fine. We're like almost like halfway in. I think we're doing well. And Amahle is doing great as well. Now, I want to get into, we've touched a little bit on you know, working with 11 other guys, you say. Yeah. But just in terms of a group. It's a lot of people, you know, to have under one, you know, company.
With big personalities.
With big personalities, very popular people as well. So what are some of, like, the frustrations that you experience and how do you sort of overcome those?
Communication, I think, is the biggest one.
Yeah. Because men suck at communicating.
She ain't lying. Communication in the sense that there's 11 of us. So... Mm-hmm. Vuyo, one of our guys, still studies in Bloom.
Yeah.
You know, Ndu has a real job.
Yeah.
Shaz was a lawyer. Well, Shaz is at Vega now.
Mm-hmm.
Shaz was a lawyer. So it was very hard to communicate to everyone. We have a group, but not everyone's going to be on the group at that time.
Yeah.
So you'll find that a lot of us, sometimes you miss a crucial decision.
Yeah.
But you weren't there. But that's when the trust comes in, is that you will trust that we have made the right decision.
Yeah.
That is one of the biggest issues. And I think Honks is one main issue in our office is that people don't push in their chairs.
Like, really?
I know, I would get hacked at that.
Your chair. But yeah, I think that's our biggest issue is communication. And when it comes to managing an event, it's very difficult with 11 people.
Yeah.
To, you know, like walkie-talkies are in now.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to make sure that Hongs, who's on stage right now, has heard that this is what's happening at the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, so those are things that we are slowly but surely getting better at.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, working with 10 men, you can't cry.
Ah, sure.
Shaz cries with me, though. Shaz cries with me.
Yeah,
Shaz cries with me. We find each other at some point in the event and, like, shit is going wrong.
Yeah.
You guys don't see it.
Yeah.
Then Shaz will just cry together and they'll be like, okay, cool, let's go.
We're good. Yeah.
And not to say that you can't cry. It's just,
You also don't want the boys to be like, oh, you're being a girl, blah, blah, blah.
So it's almost like a sign of weakness for me personally because, I don't want to say I am working on the back end, but I am. There's no other female there. There's no one who's going to listen to female reason, whatever the case may be. The gents like to think they are very liberal, and in most aspects they are.
Yeah.
So if I say we cannot put a... we can't leave this alley open because what if a girl gets dragged in there?
Yeah.
At least I'm working
with... those are some real things.
At least I'm working with gents who'll say, oh my God, Jax, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Let's actually get the tall fencing and let's put a security guard there and this and that.
Wow, that's such an important perspective, you know, from a woman that I would never have thought of.
Yeah. I mean, like, for instance, sometimes you'll be walking through your event and... you can see this girl's really drunk or whatever, and there's a guy that's almost lurking.
Yeah.
Then you kind of just gotta grab her or just be like, make fake conversations.
Yeah.
Because how do you protect 3,000 people?
Yeah.
Like I said to you earlier on, there's the rules are that there should be one bouncer for every 10 people. If I have 3,000 people, that's 300 bouncers, I think. I don't know.
Where are you going to put all of those bouncers?
Well, that's a party full of bouncers.
Yeah.
I also can't afford a 300 bouncers at, like, let's say, 2,000 rand a night.
Yeah.
So we also have... I have to make sure I tell the guys, be on the lookout, check to see if what's happening, if everyone's fine, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And,
That's so intense. But you know, along with that, you were just talking about like how sometimes you can't cry. Like as a woman, not only just within your own company, but I know when you have to like pitch to sponsors, which is it's a very corporate world. Do you feel that you get a very different treatment sometimes, maybe to your colleagues, when you're in those kind of spaces because you're a woman?
Well, I think firstly, because I worked the door for so long. Okay, let me just put it out there. Guys, I own an equal share with the guys. I'm not just the door girl. We all own an equal share in the company, right?
Yeah.
So because I worked and I was good at the door and I worked the door for so long, I think people just thought I was Tulani's girlfriend or these guys' friends or that or
just
that.
Just helping out
or whatever the case may be. So you get that a lot. Like maybe there's a sponsor who comes in and I'll be like, okay, let me show you to this and this and that and that. And they don't know who you are. There's 11 of us. I get that. But they don't give you the same respect of trying to get to know who you are because you assume to just be a door girl. Or you assume to just be a friend. You apparently don't make crucial decisions in this company, which is not the case.
They actually don't know that you do.
They don't know. So I constantly have to say, hi, I'm Jax. Yeah, I own Until.
But I won't lie. I think over time, people have started to gain that respect for you because you have been like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, for instance, it's not something I take very seriously, but I'd love for it when you guys are saying, well done, boys. And girl, it's not just boys. You know, that's what people don't know. Well done, boys and girl. Like, I'm not there to just help out.
You're not just one of the boys.
No, I actually work for Until. I own Until just as much as the next person.
Yeah.
So I think that's a challenge, and like especially girls, you know, you'll, they'll get to the door and you'll be like, sorry, tickets are sold out, whatever. Let me call Fumo.
Not knowing that
then I'm gonna
you're the one.
And I'm going to sit there and then Fumo's going to come to the door. Actually, maybe Fumo's not the right example because he always manages to get them inside.
Yeah.
Let's say Hongs. Hongs is going to get to the door and then he's going to say, okay, what's happening? What's wrong? These girls don't have tickets. They want to get in. Then Hongs is just going to look at me and be like, well, Jax, didn't you tell them? And I'm like, I told you.
Yeah.
But because you assume that no girl in such a company can hold so much power.
Yeah.
You're going to treat me like shit and just call me a door girl and whatever. And then you're not going to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to look like the asshole when, in fact, those girls were being stupid.
I am the asshole of the company.
Yes, you are, Jax.
But don't you think you have to be? Because it's you have to, you know, prove 10 times more than the other guys.
100%. Yeah.
That you have to prove to other people that you belong there.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you're not there by luck.
Yeah.
So you constantly have to know what you're doing, when you're doing, make the right decisions. You can't make a wrong decision. I like to call myself the leader, and I like to say I'm always right. Because I'm always right.
Sure. Yeah, but
I'm joking. I'm not always right. But like, I can't make mistakes. Like, for instance, it's my first time project managing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm finding it difficult with school and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't make a mistake because the moment I make a mistake, it's coming back to you.
Yeah.
But now I think that's regardless of whether, I hope to think that it's regardless of the fact that I'm a female or a male or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I do feel though that I have to work that much harder.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just the patriarchy.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. We have a question from Mikhail. he is asking, if he had the chance to not work and just enjoy one until party, which one would it be?
Genesis.
Why? Genesis?
Because that is the party of my dreams. So Genesis, when we first started Genesis, the whole idea was we were going to bridge the gap between electronic music and what I hate and what they call the urban culture, hip-hop.
Yeah.
So we were going to bring both, which we struggle with sometimes, but we were going to bring both into this event. So Genesis is basically us going to your Opikopis, your Hit Fest, and going to your Stay Fresh and your Major League Gardens, your Pop Bottles, and putting those two things together. Mm. So I'm a person who really fucks with electronic music. I really love going to your Ultra, your Hit, your Opie, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And then I'm a person who really loves an 808. I love hip hop. Yeah. I don't love trap. But yeah, I love like hip hop or whatever the case may be. So Genesis is my favorite party because those are two of my worlds that have come together and marinated into this. And we're all dressed in black and this and that. Like, it must be so great to attend it.
It's very great. Trust me.
I can only imagine.
It's the best.
I can only imagine.
All right, cool. So you just mentioned, you know, all these other event properties. I'm sure you've been, for research purposes, you've been to a lot of, you know, other events. What have you taken the most from like different parties, and not to take it in a sense that copy, because what Until does is very original, but what have you sort of seen from other parties that you've been like, okay, this is great. They did this so well. How do we incorporate this into how we do a Genesis or how we do a pajama?
So for instance, like we found that, I don't want to call it urban, we found that black parties don't have a lot of decor.
Yeah.
It's very much a stage, seating, that's that, and whatever. So like this Saturday we were at Hot on Top and they had this beautiful flower decoration thing and just like random pot plants everywhere. Yeah. And I want to take that now and I want to incorporate it into Genesis.
Yeah.
You look at a taboo and so for instance, you look at a taboo and you see how they treat their VIPs or whatever in their guest rooms. What are those things? Sections.
Yeah,
in the sections. Then you want to take an element of that and you want to put it there. You look at Homecoming.
Yeah.
Homecoming taught us quite a bit. Like we looked at Homecoming for a lot of things. Katlego was very big on helping us on how to do things, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we took that aspect of Homecoming, but we're not doing it on a field.
Yeah.
We are taking you to different venues, but it's the same festival vibe.
Yeah.
So what did we take for pajama? Pajama was always an original idea. Mm-hmm. I haven't taken anything from anyone.
Pajama goes up.
Pajama.
Guys.
Pajama was Jeezy's birthday. That's how pajama.
Who's Jeezy?
Jeezy's our lawyer.
Okay.
Good word, legal solutions. Jeezy is our lawyer, and he shares an office with us, and he's been our friend for a very long time. And it was his birthday, and it was a surprise birthday. And that's, we all just came in dressed in pajamas, and that's how the first pajama party ever started. The next one was at Mikhail's house, mm-hmm. and then the next one was now a real event.
Yeah.
So how do you move from, so you have, you guys sort of have maybe three or four like parties that you have in a year.
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, progress, is the word that I was looking for. How do you progress each party and make it different? And you manage to make it different every yeah. year. So what's like the brainstorming that goes on like with you guys to make parties better every single time?
It's a long ass fucking day. That is it. So yeah. basically, we start with Strat, no?
Mm-hmm.
Before, we used to all be involved, but now we've separated into departments.
Yeah.
So we start with Strat, and Ndu will come up with a brief idea
yeah.
of what something is going to be. So, for instance, this year's tagline or theme for Genesis is the black canvas mm-hmm. or whatever. We didn't just get to the black canvas. So Ndu will come with an idea that we want to do art, music, fashion, or whatever the case may be. He builds a shell of a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Then one Saturday, we all go sit in the office for like 14, 16 hours. It's torturous.
We've seen the snaps. Yeah, it's you guys are like dying.
It's absolutely torturous. And then we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You change this, you change that. I found that there's moments where someone will say just one thing, and then that's that.
Yeah. yeah.
Click. So, for instance, this year with the black canvas, there was another option, and we were split into two, which theme do we go with?
Yeah.
And then we state our cases, we debate back and forth. It's like you go into teams. It mm-hmm. gets a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we start with the strat, and then from strat, once we've built the strat, we like to do pre-videos.
Mm.
So we shoot those pre-videos way beforehand, and then we start with the first flyer. That'll just be a plain flyer with venue flyer, venue time, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to drop artists slowly but surely throughout the week.
You guys really need to like host a workshop where you teach other people
right.
how to promote a groove without being annoying.
because you guys so are like well. Promo Twitter, but like you're yeah. like,
but they're not annoying.
Promo Twitter, it's like some other one.
I think the secret is content.
Yeah.
yeah.
Firstly, we don't promote. We don't get a set standard of tweets that say,
"This is what's going to be a movie."
It's going to, yeah, it's going to be a movie. Yo, guys, we're tired of hearing how it's going to be a movie. So I think one of our biggest strengths is also how it is personal to us. I'm not yeah. hired to promote for Until. I am Until. So if I don't promote and I don't do it well and I don't do it organically and originally,
mm-hmm.
it's going to suck. And then yeah. my ticket sales aren't going to be there. So I'm fucked either yeah. way. So. But the main advice I would say is content.
Yeah.
Shoot pre-videos. Don't pick up a flyer from the internet
yeah.
and paste it on and say, "This is my flyer."
Yeah.
Go shoot a flyer for yourself. Like, you know what I mean? And like, promotion can't just be I've hired these 10 people and they must tweet for me.
At the same time.
Yeah, those people must know what to say, how to mm-hmm. say it.
Yeah.
They must also be at the event. I'm so tired of seeing people saying that such and such is going to be hot, hot, hot. Then I get to the event and you are nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
That's how you're sitting at home drinking wine and watching scenes.
I think that's what you guys are also fortunate with, is that when you promote, your friends also just jump on and promo for you, because we've been to your events, we know how much fun it is, and yeah. we want other people to like, you know, jump on and come have fun with us.
We'd literally be, I don't want to say we'd be nowhere, but we'd be further down if it wasn't for our mates.
Yeah.
So then mm-hmm. we have 11 people who have, let's say,
a
four
network.
More friends.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
So every single time we drop, Mikhail, Whitney, Lolo, those guys are all there tweeting for us.
Yeah.
And they're tweeting. They're not tweeting us because we've hired them. They're tweeting because they love the groove themselves.
Yes.
So, and that's how we get that much energy into the timeline, is because
it's organic.
Yeah, we literally drop it, and then Mikhail's going to start reminiscing about his first pajama and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so-and-so is going to say this, and people are posting photos from their last Genesis. And we literally, there's 11 of us, and then I think we have about 50 other people around us who constantly help everything we do. If we're dropping Ultra, they're on the timeline whiling about Ultra.
On the topic of Ultra.
On the topic of
what
Ultra.
What the actual fuck? How did you guys manage that? Because
that
everybody's
was a game
minds
changer.
Were blown yeah. when that was announced.
I think Tools knows more about this. I think we sent a proposal. We heard rumors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we sent a proposal about last year sometime.
Yeah.
And we didn't hear anything. Like, we litmus forgot. There was nothing. Like, okay.
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever. We throw Lime HQ in Cape Town. We do whatever. Then we were back at the office. It was like a Tuesday. And then we got the call that, oh, would you guys like to do a stage at Ultra?
Wow.
You can never say no. You haven't even heard the finer details.
Yeah, you're just like, yes.
I'm inside it. And for me, like, I've been going to Ultra now for 3 years. This was my third year.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from just a person who walks about and sees the 5FM stage, sees Resistance, sees the main stage, to this year... And you're walking and it says there, Until Until.
Yeah.
Like, and the promo, like all the flyers, they say Until Until. That's a mind fuck.
Yeah. Mm.
That's like absolutely insane. Like, but yeah, we did Ultra, guys.
That and you killed
amazing.
It.
And it was amazing. Shook.
You guys were and the sole shook. Reason I returned to Ultra. I was at Ultra last year and I was just like, these are not my vibes. I
think
I made it to about 8 p.m. and I was just like,
nah.
Thanks, yeah. This has been great. I mean, we did the content that we needed to do. I'm going to be out. But when I heard that Until Until was on this year, I was like, okay, I have to go.
My legs were sore for 2 days.
Literally. And that had a lot to do with the way that you guys maneuvered your lineup. Your lineup was insane. And I just wanted to, what does one have to do as a DJ or as a performance act to make it onto an Until Until party?
So we have Tools, who's like a music guru. Like, Tools listens to everything, like from disco to house to whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So him and Cap, DJ Capital, yes. Yeah. DJ Capital is a part of Until Until.
Wow.
You guys didn't know that. Cap is part one of us. So so Cap and Tools sit and they'll think about, let's say, the main acts or whatever. Everyone else comes up after, like, I've gone to Hot and Top, I've seen this person, and I'm like, ooh, I think this would be a great... That's why we party as much as we do.
Yeah, you guys, it makes sense.
Like, I party a lot. I've been doing back-to-back weekends like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because everywhere I go, I must see or hear of a new DJ. So, for instance, Das Kapital...
I heard Das for the first time at Genesis.
At Genesis. Yeah. Das Kapital is a, let's say, very electro DJ, right? Mm-hmm. And Das, me and Tools were at Opie. In 2012, 2012, we were at Opie, and we just saw this guy, and we were wilding out, and we were like, if we throw a party, this is the guy we're booking. And we booked Dust, and for the next 3 years, Dust was on our lineup. I won't say any names, but a couple of the people on our lineup this year, we have found from Opie, from Gietfest, from Pop Bottles, from this, from that.
Yeah.
We actually found a group from, what was it? Waiting Room? Living Room? No?
Waiting Room in Cape Town?
No.
The Living Room in Mabaneng.
No, Valentine's thing where there's drinks and it's like a free party and it's here and it's in New York and it's Tokyo.
The Boiler Room.
Boiler Room.
There it is.
Wait, did you?
No. It's not that hectic.
Okay.
No, it's not that hectic. But yeah, so that's how... And I think people think that if you send us a mixtape that we won't listen to it. No, we listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't do it once we've dropped the lineup.
Yeah, that's obviously too late now.
So that's too late now. So you guys keep DMing us saying, please can I play, please can I play. It's too late now. I'm telling you now, in January, that's when we start planning Genesis. In September, that's when you start planning Pyjama. Mm-hmm. Start sending your shit through before that.
I have a question. So now what happened to High School Cool? Because I haven't been to a High School Cool and it makes me so bleak.
You haven't been to one ever in life?
No. So the first one, I wasn't cool enough, I felt. The second one, I don't know. But I haven't been and it makes me so bleak.
So High School Cool, basically, our flagship first... Well, not flagship, our first baby.
Yeah.
It started getting difficult to throw it because of the theme.
Oh, okay.
It's called High School Cool.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
When
And also you guys are not, you're getting older yourselves.
And with sponsors, it promotes underage drinking.
Oh, right, it's called High School Cool.
You know, so we just said rather we let it rest at its peak.
Yeah.
Before we try too hard or whatever the case may be. And it was a good event that started us off. So RIP. Maybe we'll throw one in like 2 years just to shake things. Who knows? Just throw a High School Cool just once.
Just do it for me, girl.
Yeah. Now I remember you went to the US recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
And you went to Coachella.
I went to Made in America.
Made in America.
And Kanye.
How was that? Kanye. And how did that change the way that you want to throw parties?
So you go to Made in America, ne? Okay. Beyonce and Jigga are done. Firstly, those guys are done. But for instance, I'm not a marketing person.
Yeah.
So I always look at things logistically.
Yeah.
So for instance, at Made in America, we stood in the line for an hour waiting to collect our tags.
Mm-hmm. Just to collect the tags. Now you haven't stood in the queue to get into
mate,
venue.
Starving, hungry. We just got off a bus. Like we want to cut little Uzi Vert performing. I hate trap, but yeah. But so I look at that. I say, what could you have done logistically that's different?
Yes. Yeah.
Made in America had a lot of underage kids.
Mm.
So I guess that's the norm in America. Because
it's like a culture out there.
Yeah, because how can you host a festival without the youngins?
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
gave us different wristbands for the fact that you were overage. But it didn't help anything. There was drunk kids all over the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then I look at your production. You know, I look at how your stage has been set up. The setup of the stages was incredible. It almost in a, I want to say... You every time you're walking, you pass a stage.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's what you look at. And then one thing I did notice is that every time we get an international, we don't get anything from that international.
Yeah.
They just come and do an hour and that's that. Like I saw shows like Rihanna floating from one end of the fucking festival to the next end in a gold fucking glass box and whatever the case may be. And the sound is better. And one thing I also noticed is that consumers in America will accept anything.
Yeah.
So at Made in America, the only sponsor was Budweiser.
Yeah.
So you could only drink beer or this thing they call like Lime-a-rita, Strawberry-a-rita. It's like a cider that gets you fucked. It's very clutch. You buy one and you're good
grand.
To go. So yeah, that's what I noticed. And then I also noticed like if I had the budget to bring... these people, would I bring it? I mean, Travis Scott at Made in America performed in a tree most of the time. So he was just like wiling off and then climbs into a tree. And then, you know, then he's performing from it. You can't even see him. All you see is this tree shaking. And you look at that and you're like, if I were to have a budget, I'd get Travis Scott to come to South Africa.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
But that's just like, it sounds like all he does is walk from one end of the stage to the other stage, just shouting.
Why don't you just DJ?
Rather.
Why don't you just
rather
stick to what you actually
DJ, dog?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also to just to see how their systems work. And yeah, I look at everything from a logistical point of view. I'll go to an event and be like, you don't have enough bouncers.
Yeah.
And I look and I was like, where's the fencing here? I dog, 1, 2, 3, 4 toilets.
You're that judgmental groove.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you even go to a groove and not inspect it? No.
Yeah.
No. You cannot.
So just bouncing off of the ultra thing, and that's sort of like going into like now an EDM space. What other industries do you think you would like to bring Unsilental into? Like for an instance, if you had like a fashion week and there's like an Unsilental party, do you guys like ever think
that.
About those things
be, yes,
of like tapping into other industries?
Yes. So that's where TMG 10 Media Group comes into.
Yeah.
There's 11 of us, but it's called 10 Media.
Yeah.
The irony.
Anyway, sounds better.
But that's where. That's our activations point mm-hmm. in our company. So for brands, something like Lime HQ wasn't an Unsilental party. That was an activation for Castle Light Lime. For
right.
They asked us to throw a party to activate. It's not like us saying, woo,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it has to be. So those are the things that 10 Media Group likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where if, let's say, Virgin Mobile comes and says, we want to throw an end of year party
yes.
for our people. We can do that for you. We can do everything. And that's where hopefully this year, 2017, is looking very good. That's where we'll be going now as to go to Fashion Week and mm-hmm. say, we're throwing the event for Fashion Week. To go to Standard Bank and be like, we're throwing your, I don't know, welcome to the year party or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what 10 Media Group wants to and is slowly trying to do.
Well, you guys did a brilliant job with Lime HQ in Cape Town.
Yeah, that was...
It was such a vibe.
In terms of coming to a new city and rumbling, stay fresh, but...
I know. That was the one.
That was the craziest thing for us. It was like, oh my God, we picked the wrong date. But it came alive, so
yeah.
That was dope.
That was the one. We're drawing a bit, like closer to the close of the show, so I just want to like wrap up a bit by asking you, what is the future of Unsilental? Where is Unsilental going? Are we going to see a 3-day festival in the next 2 years?
Yazzie, you're reading my mind.
Hey!
So the idea of Antelantel, like this year, we're keeping the same numbers. We're just making a better experience for Antelantel. So we're trying to make sure the door flows properly, the bar flows properly, et cetera, et cetera. If I look at Antelantel in the future, I see you packing your shit and driving to the outskirts, let's say, of KwaZulu-Natal, and you get there and it's a full-on three-day festival. That's where sick. I see Genesis.
Yes.
I see Bijama becoming more refined because I'm getting older. But right. The kids love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the idea. Just bigger and better things. I don't want to bring Ultra to South Africa.
Yeah.
I want to be the Ultra. Want to be Ultra. I want the 20,000 people.
Yes.
I want the three stages. I want to spend money I don't have on artists. I just want to do just massive, bigger and better things, yeah.
I'm excited. That sounds
and
so
more,
dope.
And more themed parties. Like,
yes.
That's the one thing for us is that if it doesn't have a theme, it's so boring.
Yeah. My mom still asks me, like, are you going to a pajama party?
But Twiggy, you were wearing the most. I wasn't there, but I saw the photos.
Why weren't you there?
How did your mother let you out the house, Tsipang?
I didn't leave Mama Molly's house like that. That's the truth.
Yeah. I see. Still doing high school things, but it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. No, we were pre-drinking somewhere else, is what I'm saying.
In your pajamas?
We were at my aunt's house.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay,
and we got ready there. And there was no one there. It was just, you know, the gallings.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so someone, I think this is one of your Antelantel guys. I don't know how to say this name. Jito.
Yeah, Jito.
Jito. Jito is asking, who is the sex of Antelantel?
Come on.
Jito, you're gonna start rumbles in the office. You're gonna start rumbles. Who do you think? Jito probably thinks he's the biggest sex.
Probably.
What is a sex, guys?
So a sex is the be-all and end-all of gent. You have the banter. The outfit, Chesa. You have the looks, you are an all around sex. Like,
now I'm thinking, like,
when you are the guys in Antelantel?
So, Tandile Mafanya, Vuyo Magazi, DJ Capital, Tulani Dandala, Miso Lupondo, Mvumo Minga, Sandile Shangase, Ndumiso Butelezi, Charles Lusengo, Monty Munati. Monty, I'm on
You lost me at the third name.
I've got three sexes there.
All right. Give them to us.
Monty's a bit of a sex.
Okay, Montana.
Shazzy's a bit of a sex.
Right? Yes.
And wait, there's some. And Ndu.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know who these people. Like, I probably know their faces. I just don't know their names.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, Vuyo, Vileke.
Those are the sexes. Sorry, you didn't make it.
Didn't make it. thanks for the question, though. And then just in closing, I mean, Twiggy just mentioned, like, why you guys don't run, you know, event working workshops. What advice would you give to, like, women who want to go into, like, this kind of eventing? And, okay, it doesn't have to be women, but just, you know, kids in Joburg and Jen that see you guys and they're like, these guys are doing what I want to do. So do you have any advice for them? Or is there any, like, specific path that they should go about?
Throw the party.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. You'll never start and then you have everything. Throw the party. Be original.
Yeah.
Be original. Don't take a song name and call it your party.
Yeah.
Whatever
hacks me so much.
Like,
wow.
You know, I think the nightclub, like, teams in Joburg need to hire 10 media group
right.
to come up with the concept.
But I don't think we can't afford, Swiggy. We can't afford.
We can't afford. I can't afford.
We're cheap, dog. But yeah, for me, it's just be original, content, and the event. It's not about you. It's about the event.
Thank you.
So it's not Amahle is throwing Genesis. Genesis is Genesis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you read, like, in the beginning, we didn't even want to be known. We wanted to be this, like, secret society.
Really?
We throw these parties, but obviously we couldn't.
Yeah.
So be original. Content, Oaks. If you're going to catch people's eyes, you're going to create all this shit that is going to make them interested in your event. Not in you, in your event. And maybe call Katlego Malatsi. Maybe he can
just
help you out.
Just saying. Thank you so much for joining us, Amahle. I think I've learned so much from this chat. I will never look at a party the same way after this interview.
And we will be attending every single Antelantel party.
Please just peep the Antelantel timeline. We are announcing something today at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you so much for listening to The Threaded Exchange, everybody. Sia is back with you next week, Monday. And we are signing up. Maybe we'll come back, like, you know, another time.
If you guys just like to,
just to chat as Hans, you know?
Yeah, really.
Just to chat as Hans. We'll come do another takeover. Let us know if you want us back. But thank you very much, everybody. Have a great afternoon.
Bye.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Threaded Exchange with Sia Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.